Okay, let's go ahead and get started here. How are you holding up? You had a good week so far? Yeah, a few parties, had some good times. That's great. I'm sure that the information saturation is starting to set in about this point in time, that's for sure. I'll give you a little bit more today, give you another shot of that. Hopefully some good information for you about business connectivity services that's now available in Office 365. And so we're going to talk about what that can do with respect to bringing the types of scenarios into your enterprises or into your organizations that help light up some really, really neat opportunities. So we're going to be talking through that in an end-to-end type of solution. I'm Donovan Follett. I work in developer and platform evangelism. I'm based out of Redmond, Washington. So I'm on campus there at Microsoft. And what's an evangelist do? Well, in my role, I sit a little bit between, or pretty much between, the product teams and our partners. And so evangelists have that unique opportunity and the fun part of being able to help our partners in their early adoption of our technologies as our technologies are being built out. And then, as we ship in the in the near term, then our partners will be right on board to be able to ship just shortly after we do. So that's what an evangelist does, helps partners to be able to adopt our technologies. I specifically work with Office and SharePoint. So that's been a lot of fun, and I've been working with Office and SharePoint since the ship of Office 2010. So with that, let's just look at what are the objectives for today. I really only have one objective, okay? And that objective is to propose to you why business connectivity services is such a valuable addition into the Office 365 SharePoint Online. That's all I want to propose to you today. Now, you can choose to believe it or not, but I'm going to propose that to you. I'm going to propose it based upon a number of demos that I'm going to do, because I really believe that Office 365 Business Connectivity Services now opens up some very, very unique scenarios for the power user. The power user now can wire up things in no-code types of ways where they can bring line of business data. Once the line of business data is made available into SharePoint Online through BCS, then that power user, without writing any code, can wire up some really neat types of things and build some productivity solutions based on that. And I'll show you how they do that, how they can do that. Secondly, I want to propose to you that it is of great value to developers, because with BCS in SharePoint Online now, developers can do broad end-to-end types of solutions with the tool set that they have: Visual Studio, SharePoint Designer. They can now build great end-to-end types of solutions that can cut across a number of devices, as well as be really deep and rich on those devices. So we'll look at a solution like that. And then third, I believe that BCS, I want to propose to you that BCS in SharePoint Online is of significant value to the end users. Because really, it's that end user that takes the information and actually makes decisions upon it and acts upon it. And that's why we want to have productivity types of solutions and data from line of business put into end users' hands, because that's where information takes action. And it's in their hands, whether that happens to be a CEO or a CFO or a CIO, or it happens to be an administrative assistant or somebody that's delivering packages door to door and has the information available to them on their device. That's end users being able to take decisive action upon data that's available to them that might not have been there before, certainly with business connectivity services. Without business connectivity services, I should say. So my key takeaway then is that after seeing these types of solutions being put in play, that you'll be inspired to take action and to build and light up some productivity solutions. So with that, I have a lot to show you today. I'll try and keep, if we can, keep some of the questions to a minimum. Immediately following this session, I'm going to be down in the Office 365 booth. So if this session happens to go right up to the end and you don't get your question answered, I'd love to talk to you down there, but I'll try and make sure we have some room at the end as well. All right, so with that, let's just do a level set. What is BCS? What is Business Connectivity Services? For those that have SharePoint on premises, it's a no-brainer. You've had Business Connectivity Services all along. And Business Connectivity Services, in its functionality, brings line of business data into the SharePoint environment so that it can light up things. And it extends the reach then of that enterprise data, where many times enterprise data is sitting out in silos and only certain people can access certain types of data. And maybe you don't want to give a broad sweep of your organization access to that siloed data, but there are key things in that line of business system that you would like to surface and bring into the SharePoint environment and allow end users to interact with it. That's where BCS really shines. It doesn't replace siloed line of business data or big systems, but it does allow pieces of those systems, I would say, to come into the SharePoint environment where users are actively using the data every single day and interacting with it. So it extends the reach of enterprise data. Secondly, it gives IT the option or the ability to manage reusable connections. Business Connectivity Services puts a prescribed schema or semantic in place on access to line of business systems. And if you're going to write code against that, then it gives a prescribed way for developers to write code. So you write code against Business Connectivity Services, and that way IT knows who is hitting and those endpoints that you've lit up out there for your services. IT can manage that and control that. So it gives them that reusable connection as well as control over how the data is being hit and the way that you are going to program against it. So that makes it easy then to build custom types of solutions on top of BCS. So again, just as a part of the level set for those that aren't familiar with it, this is the architecture of Business Connectivity Services. So across the bottom here, we have a number of web services. And those web services can light up anything. They can provide any type of information that you want to surface and provide an endpoint for that with a SOAP-based web service. You might have your web service sitting in front of your big ERP-type systems like SAP. You might have a web service sitting in front of a SQL, some type of a database. But whatever you want to surface through a web service, BCS can connect up to it. Now, if we look at the far right-hand side, is that right-hand? Yeah, it's my left. You're right, okay. If we look at the far right-hand side, we have SharePoint. And this is SharePoint Online, but SharePoint Online with respect to its architecture and BCS is exactly the same as SharePoint on-premises. So this is the same picture you're going to see in a SharePoint on-prem environment. So if we look at the lower part, what we have is the BCS server runtime, and it consumes external content types or business data connectivity XML files, essentially. So what is an external content type? Really, it is just that XML file that represents the methods and the data that you're going to be pulling out and of the line of business system or whatever the web service is exposing. The beauty of it is that it's read-write, and that's what we got in Office in SharePoint 2010. We got BCS with a read-write capability. So that's really nice. We also have in the BCS server runtime section, we have SSS, which is the SharePoint Secure Store. So we also have that in SharePoint Online, just like we have in on-prem. We'll hear some details about those as we go forward. But once you have BCS, then there's a number of things that it can light up. And especially on top of those external content types, you can then build external lists. And when those external lists are there, your enterprise employees can go ahead and look at those external lists. But that's also what you can program against and build no-code solutions against. So that's where we're going. On the Office client side, Office 2010 has some BCS functionality built in as well. So it's smart enough to recognize when BCS, there's a BCS connection involved. And so we're going to see that with a no-code solution with the Word client today. But then also the Office client, you can use Visual Studio and you can build add-ins that can access SharePoint Online, authenticate to SharePoint Online, and using the client-side object model exactly like you would in SharePoint on-prem, you can then hit the business connectivity services external list and pull that list down or any data that you want to pull down. You can bring that down into an Office client through an add-in so you can build custom solutions, and we'll see that today as well. So that's the high-level architecture and the basis for BCS within SharePoint Online. We're focusing on the external content type because that's that key point where we wire up SharePoint Online to your line of business web service. Okay, why is it a little bit different than SharePoint on-prem? Well, BCS was not there, available, when we shipped Office 365 SharePoint Online. And consequently, you know, you, customers, as well as our ISVs that were building on our platform said, oh, come on, man, we really need that line of business data. So the product groups did some really, really hard work because Office 365 is, of course, this multi-tenant environment. And BCS needs to be able to be separate from, you know, my BCS web services and what they're accessing can't mess up with yours. And, you know, there was a lot of good hard architecture work and design that had to be put in place. But now, since November, when we announced business connectivity services in Office 365, since November, it has rolled out worldwide to all the tenancies. So your tenancy, if you have Office 365 in the E series, I believe it starts with E1, but if you have Office 365 in the E series plans, then you should be able to go in, and we'll see the portal in a minute, and you should be able to see the business data connectivity there. Now, the difference, though, in SharePoint Online from on-prem is that in the on-prem, If you use SharePoint Designer, you can, and you go in to set up a connection, there's three different kinds of connections. You can have a .NET connection, you can have a direct SQL database connection, and you can have a WCF or any SOAP-based web service connection. Okay, you can have all three. In SharePoint Online, you only get one. Although SharePoint Designer isn't smart enough to only show you one. Sorry, guys. You only get the WCF service, okay? And that's because .NET assemblies cannot be put in a multi-tenant environment. Sorry, if you bring down the server, you bring down lots of people. So .NET assemblies can't be there, as well as direct SQL connections can't be there in SharePoint Online. Bottom line is, I don't know that you're going to feel like you've missed anything, because really with the WCF or SOAP-based web service, that's really can front anything that you would want to do. So it only supports SOAP-based web services. And the other thing is it only supports username and password authentication to that WCF service. Essentially what that means is that you have to use the secure store. Your WCF service is going to have to be secured with a certificate and a username and password. That certificate is going to be known, and it has to be a CA, a certificate from a CA, a certified authority, a certificate authority. It cannot be a self-signed cert. So in my demos, my WCF service is wide open. Okay, it's not secured in any way. And that's because I didn't want to purchase a, you know, for a demo environment, I didn't want to purchase a cert. But again, a self-signed cert will not work. But with a username and password connection going through the secure store service, the user that is authenticated is not known to the back end. Okay, now in the on-prem environment, it's great. We have Active Directory, we authenticate to Active Directory, sign onto our computer, we have credentials passed through everywhere, Active Directory manages everything, and that can flow through to back-end services. In the online environment, we aren't authenticating with Active Directory, even if you have a federated setup where it's actually bouncing you back to your ADFS server where you're authenticating and getting a token and passing it back to SharePoint Online, that still is not AD authentication as such as we would know it with Windows Integrated Auth. It's still passing a token up. So what you can't do then is pass the user, the logged on user, to the back end service just as an authenticated, as they are authenticated. If you need to know who the user is at the back end service so you can do permissions or you can do some kind of logging and all of that, then you just need to pass some immutable ID, you know, something, an employee ID or whatever. You have to pass it through as a parameter to your web service and do the work on the back end that helps separate out who is, you know, who's actually accessing the data or making the data call. So those are the caveats with respect to the differences of SharePoint Online. So essentially you would think about this as the trusted subsystem model, where you have a single username and password that many, that is what authenticates, that is used to authenticate to the WCF service, and then all the users go through with that single username and password. So it's like that trusted subsystem model. Not the best, but you can get access, secured access to your data. So with that as the foundation then, what I have is an end-to-end solution that I'm going to walk through that can be built, or that was built, because BCS now exists in SharePoint Online. So we have a company called Fabricam. Fabricam sells furniture. Fabricam employees deliver furniture out to people's locations. Okay, so we have delivery people that are providing furniture to the customers. But Fabricam is very innovative, and they have a little bit of a mixture here of what we call platform as a service, which is the Windows Azure side, as well as some software as a service, which is the Office 365 side. So on the blue side, Fabricam has set up blob storage because they want to be able to have a place to store pictures if items are rejected. They want the employee to be able to take a picture of that item and push it up into blob storage and have that available to be viewed later. They have their line of business database, their orders database, in their SQL Azure. And so we have the orders database out there. We have a single WCF service that fronts that. We have Office 365 over here. And then we have, in our scenario, we have a number of clients. So we have a Word client and an Excel client, and we have Excel services, Excel Web Access web parts and Excel services, and we have the Windows Phone. All of these come together to build an end-to-end business scenario. So let's just look at the cloud side. Let's just look at the foundation. Again, I mentioned the Blob Store. I mentioned the SQL Store. We have a single WCF service. This WCF service serves two different purposes. Number one, it serves as the endpoint that Business Connectivity Services is going to connect to, and it's going to find all the customers or a single customer. It's going to find all the orders or a single order, and it's going to find all the order items and a single order item. So those are the three main things that we're going to access from the Business Connectivity Services site. That's one part of what this web service does for us. The second part is that this web service is being hit by the Windows Phone application directly. Okay, so the Windows Phone application isn't going to hit SharePoint Online. It's going to access this WCF service directly. And when it accesses the WCF service, there's some methods on that service that will go out and will find all the orders for me as a delivery person that's logged into my Windows Phone. And it will show me what's undelivered. It will also show me what's been delivered. And I can, on my Windows Phone, deliver an item to a customer. If that item is damaged or has some problem with it and the customer rejects it, I can take a picture of that item, note what the problem was with that item, and I can upload that picture, close out that item as delivered, and that goes into my back-end database, as well as it pushes a picture up into my blob store. But all of that's handled through my WCF service. Are we okay? Good. All right. Then on the cloud side for my software as a service, I have Office 365 with BCS. I'm going to build an external content type that hits my WCF service so I can expose those lists. And once those external lists are exposed, I'm going to light up some things on top of that. Ready to go? All right. I'm ready to go. Okay, so first of all, let me just come in here. First of all, let's go to my SQL Azure database. So let me just first show you here. So here's my SQL Azure database, no big deal. I just have created a simple little database out there. It's called the Business Connectivity Services Orders Database. What's really neat about it is I now have this little tool out in SQL Azure that I can actually manage that database. If I click on Manage, then I open up my SQL Azure web-enabled management studio for SQL Azure. Now, what's really nice about this is I don't have to have my full SQL Server management studio on my desktop. If I'm just doing some lightweight testing and some lightweight things, I can just use this simple web interface, and it makes it really nice. I can go into the design here, and when I go into design, I can see all the tables that are on my database. Are you able to see that okay? I can see all the tables on my database. I can look at orders. I can see the dependencies. So this will go out and give me a visual representation of the relationships of my different tables or entities in my database. So I can see I have orders, order details, so that's really a nice little feature. I can actually write a query here, so I can just simply do, I just went blank. Oh, there we go. Select star from customers and run a query here. So all I'm showing you is just from a developer's perspective, there's some nice tools for you to be able to use that you don't have to have lots of heavyweight kind of things laying around to be able to work this. You can simply build your database out there and start doing some work. So here I just simply did a query of the database. But I can also, if I come back in here to design, I could also edit the database. So I can add new columns, drop tables, delete tables, or add tables, add columns. I can also just look at the data. And I can actually, if I want to, I could go in and I can do some data change right here. So with these simple tools, I can see my I can see quickly my database environment. I have my queries that I can run against it if I do need to do some data manipulation and things like that for my testing environment. I can do it all right here. So that is my SQL Azure database that sits behind all of this. The customers table. So if we come back into design, the customers table, I'm going to be hitting with my WCF service, my orders table, and as well as my order details table. So my WCF service then, now that sits in front of this, looks like this. So, you know, I don't want to get into this too broadly or deeply here, but essentially you can see that I have a number of methods here. I have a load customers method. That's going to go out and get all the customers for me. That's important to BCS. Or I can simply load a customer. If I pass in a customer identifier, I can get a single customer. From a BCS perspective, when I create, if I want to create an external list in Business Connectivity Services, even if it's read-only, I have to have two methods. I have to have a get one, essentially, and a get all. Those are the two, a read one and a read all. Okay, so those are the two methods that you must have. The other create and delete methods are all optional, but you have to have at least those two. So as well as for my WCF service, there's a couple other methods here. Here's my load item, order item. And then there are the other methods that I have on here that help support the phone, get rejection reasons, save the order, load order with detail. Here's where I get load orders for the delivery person. So that's where the Windows phone is going to actually hit that method, and it's going to pass in my immutable ID that comes from my identity provider. And we'll talk about that in a minute. And it's going to use that as the key value on my orders database to pull all the orders that belong to me, both delivered and undelivered. So with that, that's my WCF service. I can test it all locally with my developer fabric on my InVisual Studio for Windows Azure. Then I package that all up and I push that out to Windows Azure. And so let's just go there. So from a hosted service perspective, then this is my deployment out in Windows Azure. So I have just my Fabricam 2 BCS by name, and that's my WCF service now running up in the cloud. So I have WCF sitting in front of my way to push images into my blob store, as well as pull any kind of information that I need out of my SQL store. So that essentially gives me my cloud. Let me just come back here. That essentially gives me the foundation in the cloud, everything that I need in the cloud to be able to support the types of work that I want to do in this scenario. So how it works. We build the WCF service, we build the methods to expose the data, we deploy to Windows Azure portal, and then we create a BDC model in SharePoint Online. So let's go ahead and look at that. So once I have the service out in Azure land, then I can hit it. But how do I hit it? How do I wire that up? So let's come back over here now and take a look at that. So with that, to be able to wire it up, there's a couple things that I need to do here. So first of all, I'm going to go over into my Office 365 portal. So if you're an administrator of Office 365, then this is the part of the portal that you have access to. So when you come into the portal, you have your SharePoint site here. You can click on Manage. Now, just to save any lag time or potential not having the internet, I just have some things up here. So if we click on the Manage link, we come directly into the Administration Center for SharePoint Online. You'll see up here that we have Manage Business Data Connectivity and we have Manage Secure Store Service. Now, again, as I mentioned, I don't have the Secure Store Service set up, but for you and your production environment, you would come into the Secure Store Service and you would create, you would just simply create a new target application ID, give it a name, and as you step through the wizard, you would enter the username and password and the endpoint, and that is the secure store, or I should say you enter the username and password, and then that's all saved in the secure store, and then as you build out your connection, you would use that, and I'll show you where. You would use that target application ID in your connection that is going to access the WCF service. So you would have one of these. I do not have one of these for my demo. Secondly, you have business data connectivity. Okay? So if you want to access a WCF service and have business data connectivity essentially enabled inside of your SharePoint Online environment, you come into business data connectivity. And the first thing you need to do is set the metadata store permissions. This is the individual that is going to manage the store, or the individuals that are going to have access to manage the store, the metadata store. Okay, this isn't providing individuals access to the different external lists you create. That's another in another location. But this is for managing the metadata store itself. So you have to give permissions in this dialog here for managing the store. So we'll cancel out of that. Once you have permissions to do that, okay, then you can go into SharePoint Designer and you can build the external content types. And these are just a number of external content types that have been built with SharePoint Designer. And we can come back to those in a little bit. So with that, that's the administration side of the metadata store and the Secure Store service. So now let's go into SharePoint Designer and look at actually how to do this. But before we get into SharePoint Designer, let's just look at my Office 365 site by itself. So again, this is Fabricam. Fabricam sells furniture. So they have very nicely branded their employee site. So there's a number of things here that have been done, but this is just simply Office 365. If your Office 365 site doesn't look like this yet, go for it. Make it happen. Do something to it. Don't settle for blue and white, okay? Do some nice things with it. I'm sure you have already. But this is just CSS. This is just standard branding of a SharePoint site. And so there's a lot of options that you have to build a really nice site. Number of things for employees here, number of resources. The key thing here is the team sites as well as the facilities. But what we want to do, now that you've seen the site, because this is where we're going to build the external list once we have the external content types wired up, what I wanted to do is just have you see the site, but then also this is where you would come, where you do site actions, and you would edit the site in SharePoint Designer. Okay? So clicking on this link here is going to fire up SharePoint Designer. It's going to pass the URL to this site into SharePoint Designer, and SharePoint Designer is going to open up. So I have SharePoint Designer here just to save that interaction. Now, SharePoint Designer, when it's opening up, the first thing it's going to do is it's going to prompt you for your credentials. And when you authenticate and it clears your authentication, then if you are in the secure store, or not the secure store, but if you're an administrator in the BCS metadata store, then you're going to be able to do some things. Also, it's going to check to see if you even have access to be able to do this kind of thing right here. Now, so since I'm an administrator on the portal, everything is available to me. But given that I authenticated with someone with lesser permissions, there are only certain things they would be able to do with SharePoint Designer based upon their permissions. Okay, the key is external content types. So we want to build external content types. We want to wire up to the WCF service out in Azure LAN. So we click on external content types. You can see that there's a number of them that have already been built here. What I would do is simply create a new one by clicking on external content type. We'll do TechEd customer. Oh, RecEd. I hope not. Without internet, sometimes it can be. Okay, so TechEd customer. And then we click on external system here. And there are a number of connections that are already here, but I'm just going to show you how you would actually create a new connection. Now, here you see that there are the three different types. However, the .NET type and the SQL Server type are not able to be built here. WCF service can be. So I'll click OK. Now, with the WCF service, all we need to do is hit a couple things. I need to have the endpoint for the service, and I need to have the endpoint for the WSDL. And if I need to authenticate to it, I need to have the secure store ID placed in here. But in this case, let me just open this up here, Control C. Let's just for the fun of it, come out here to my website, and let's just hit the service first, because this is the Azure service that's actually running. So my service endpoint is up and running, and my WSDL, right-click and open in a new tab. We'll look at that. So my WSDL's there. So that's just validation that my Azure LAN service is in good shape. So I'm just going to take that now into WCF here, and I need the service metadata URL. So let me paste this in and put the WSDL on it. And then for my service endpoint, I'll just paste it in. And for a name, TechEd customer. Wow. TechEd customer. Okay. The only other thing would be clicking this button right here and putting in the secure store service, which I don't have. Secure store service application ID. So I'll connect with user identity essentially, which in this case I'm wide open. This is now going out and it's creating the XML, okay, first of all for the business data connectivity model, creates the XML, hits the web service, okay, and once it hits the web service and it comes back, here's my TechEd customers. It shows me all the web methods that are on that WCF service out there. Okay, so these are all the web methods. Now, as I mentioned earlier, I don't want to use all of these web methods inside of SharePoint Online. I only want a few. So remember I showed you the load customers method and the load customer method. Those are both here. So now within in SharePoint Online, what I want to do is create a new read item operation on the customer. So now I have this very simple little wizard that I step through. I'll click next. And the thing that I need to do is map this identifier. Okay. So I map the identifier and go next. And now I have a number of options here, all of these different fields. I don't need to do anything with them. I can just simply I do need to do one thing with this. Customer ID. Let's see here. What's this telling me? Map to identifier. There we go. There we go. Get rid of all the warnings. Now I simply click finish. So it's a really simple way to create your business data connectivity model out under your metadata store. So the last thing I do is click finish. Now what I'm not going to do is click finish because I don't want to wait for it. But when I click finish, it actually pushes out a brand new external content type that I can do some fun things with. Okay? So we'll cancel out of that. I'll take you over into one that already exists. So here's my customer one that already exists. And we'll just take a real quick look at it. Okay, as it loads up. Okay, the key things here are down here. Okay, so down here you can see the two methods that I've enabled, and I'm doing read only, so I'm not actually writing back, but I could, but I'm not doing it. I have the read customer and the load customer, which is a read item, and load customers, which is a read list. And then also I have over here then all of the fields that essentially are coming back with that when I make the read item or the read list. So all the fields that will be coming back to into SharePoint Online that I can then use. Okay, so what I've done is I've built those out so that I have a customer, I have an order, and I have the order item. So those have all been built out now. So once those are there, now I can go back into my SharePoint Online environment and I can create some things off of those. So let's come back into my SharePoint Online environment. Let's go into my finance team site here. And let's pull the data directly out of the database. So you can see that I have a customer's external list here. I'll show you how to build it in a minute. Here's my customer list that went through SQL Azure. My WCF service, SQL Azure, pulled the data back. Here's my orders list. And here is my order items list. Now, for those of you that haven't used external lists before, What's important to remember is that external lists are real-time grab, are a real-time grab of data from your endpoint. Okay? Whereas other lists that you build in SharePoint are stored off in SharePoint SQL database somewhere. Those are what you would think of as more static. That data is stored in SQL in SharePoint. But external lists, the data is never stored in SQL in SharePoint. It's always retrieved as it's accessed, okay? So that's why you need to make sure that you configure your, you put the right parameters around this, you put the right filtering around the data so that you're getting back not huge chunks. You know, you have to think about the architecture for retrieving data, but it's always a real-time grab of the data. So this is all data directly out of the database in real time. So how do we then wire this up? So if I come in here and let's just go into site actions and let's just do view all site content, I can do a create and we'll do a list here. And notice I have the external list. This wasn't, you wouldn't be able to have done anything with this prior to BCS. But here's an external list. I simply go create. And let me just do TechEd customers, and that's an arbitrary name there. That doesn't have to match anything in the external content type that I build. It just happens that that's what I named it. But right here is where I make the selection of the external content types of which one I want to hit to retrieve data from. So in this case, here's my Fabricam 2 orders. Here's my customer. I'll go ahead and click OK on that. And click Create. So what we'll see when we're all done here is that over on the left-hand margin, here's my TechEd customers, and it was just that easy. Once that external content type is built, it's just that easy to pop an external list into any one of your site collections within the tenancy. Okay? External content types can be and are tenancy-wide, but you can permission them and decide which ones you want to place into which site collections and things like that. But they are available tenancy-wide. So it's just that easy to pop a new external list in there. Now, once you have the external list, we can go to the list settings. And you have the option then to do, you know, any kind of fun things you want with respect to what you actually want to show of that list, what you want, how you want it to be shown, which fields do you want to do show first or last or whatever. All of that functionality, like you would configure just a regular list in SharePoint, you can do that with the external lists. So you can move things around as you would like. Okay? So we'll go ahead and cancel out of that. All right. Come back to the slides. So we create the BDC model, essentially. That's the external content type. It's stored as a BDC model in SharePoint Online. We set permissions on the external content type, and we created an external list. So all that is goodness. Are you with me? Whew. All right, here we go. So that's what we did. But now what we want to do is light up some user experiences around this great data that is now available in SharePoint Online. Line of business data in SharePoint Online. What can we do with it? Let's look at some no-code solutions. First of all, what we want to do is we want to, without writing any code at all, we want to build a Word document template that can pull data out of my line of business system and fill out my form for me. That's cool. We want to take Excel Web Access web parts and we want to populate those on a page because those can become really nice dashboards. Now, it's not so much that those connect directly themselves with business connectivity services. However, the Excel spreadsheet is connected to business connectivity services. And so when it is saved up into SharePoint Online, the charts that are saved at the time that document was saved become available to Excel Web Access, and so we can build nice dashboards out of that. So we'll see that. And then, just because we have that external list we just created, once we have that external list available in my browser, it's also available in my browser on the phone. So now I have a really nice way to just be able to have my salespeople use the browser on their phone and maybe have a productivity solution with that. So no code and business connectivity solutions. So let's go ahead and take a minute here. Come back to the demo. And look at this. So let's come back to the overall finances site. Now, there's one thing that I want to show you here. So let's just click on the customers list. And notice this searchable address over here. Now, searchable address, if we went back, we're not taking time to do it, but if we went back to my SQL database, searchable address is not in the SQL database, okay? But it shows up here. That's because my web service itself, once it retrieves the data from the SQL database, it just simply does a nice little concatenation of a number of fields in the SQL database, and it also passes that data down into my SharePoint Online as I access the web service. So I have this nice searchable address here, and that can make a really nice link in a Windows phone that I can just click on and get a Bing map and get my directions. So I just wanted you to see that because, again, we're no code right here. So that's coming down. But let's look at proposals. So here I have a document library that has proposals in it. And notice over here I have this customer name, but this is actually data that's coming out and being stored with a document from my business connectivity services, okay? And if I come up here and I go Documents, New Document, Proposal, and I open that document, you'll see in the document information panel up here, you see a number of fields, customer name, customer, and then we have city, country, customer ID, etc. But if we come down to the document here, you can see I have these content controls that are really special types of content controls. Those content controls are actually connected up to business connectivity services, all wired up without any code. So in this case, if I go ahead and click right here, it pops up for me automatically. It pops up the list of all of my customers. Okay, it's just retrieved those in real time. So if any names were changed or any addresses had changed since the last time I built a document, that's real-time data. I simply click on, I'll click Blue Yonder Airlines here and click OK. Now, every place in the document where I had this very special content control, all the data has been pulled into my document. So now here's Blue Yonder Airlines. Even in the footers, here's Blue Yonder Airlines. So everywhere in the document that I had that special content control, the data has been filled in, all because of a connection to business connectivity services. So that's pretty cool. So now I can save the document, and that data stays with the document, okay? So it's metadata around the document. So let's see. I'll go ahead and close that out. So that's one no-code solution, just because BCS is there now. And that's a pretty nice productivity solution because you can build templates around that for your organization. Now, secondly, if we let me just come back here. Secondly, if we come back to our finance site, I have a document, an Excel document, that has a number of charts. Did somebody lose me? Okay. Pivot tables, pivot charts that are driven off of data that's being retrieved by business connectivity through business connectivity services with a custom add-in. That document has been pushed up to SharePoint Online, so it's now sitting in SharePoint Online in a document library. Once it's in a document library, then Excel Services has access to it. And any chart that's on the document that has a name to it, and you just, this is just, you know, Excel kind of 101 where you use a named range, you can name a chart. Once you name the chart, you can then have Excel Services essentially be able to surface that chart in an Excel Access web part. So in this case, if I just go to the page here and I put the page in edit mode, you'll see that these are just a number of Excel web access web parts. And if I go ahead and click down on this and click edit the web part, so I have my properties pane over here now. So let me just pop that up so you can see it. So you'll notice in the properties pane, and the URL is too long, but in the workbook URL, it's simply the URL all the way to the Excel document itself. Okay, so that's just the path all the way to the document library with the name of the Excel document. Excel Web Access Web Part needs to know where the document lives. That's that one. The second one, which is the named item, is, hey, look in that document and find that named item, and that's the named item that I want to have displayed over here. Okay? Then you have, just like with any web part, you have a number of Chrome control kinds of things, so you can tweak these things and get them laid out on a page. But if you have somebody in your organization that's building these really big, powerful, nice, charty kinds of things that, you know, make the execs go, yeah, then once that document has been pushed up to Excel Services, these little guys, Excel Web Access Web Parts, are really, really nice to be able to pop some dashboards out. So then there's also, if you're a developer, there's also a JavaScript object model that works alongside of these, and so you can actually interact with that web part with some JavaScript. There's great blog posts on that under Excel and Excel Services under the team blog. Okay, so let's go ahead and pop out of that because I don't want to totally run out of time. So I'm going to discard that check-in. But essentially, you just add these web parts to the page. You move them around, put them wherever you want them, set all the Chrome controls, and build these nice dashboards, and then point that to be your main page. So that's Excel Web Access, web parts, no code. Okay, the last thing then, what I want to do is just pop over here to the phone. Okay. Okay, can you see that okay? So what I've done is I've saved my phone a tile directly to my website. So if you look down, and I don't know how much you can see, but if you look down here at the bottom, I am actually hitting my DPE office, SharePoint website, all the way out to my finance. This is my this is just my home site. So now I've not written any code, but I can come down here. Here's all my team sites. So I'll drill into my team site, come into my team site. Here's my finance site. I should have got a manicure. But now, once you see that I have I've accessed my team site and my finance team site, just like over in the left-hand navigation on the web, on the actual website, I had my customers, my orders. Ah, hey, look, there's my TechEd customers list that I just built for you guys. It's already there. So I can click on customers now. Click into customers. We can go to AdventureWorks. And now this is where the clickable or the searchable address comes in really handy, because now on my Windows phone, that's just popped out as a link. So here I am. I'm a salesperson or a delivery person out there, and I'm going, ah, oh, man, where is this place? I can just drill into this customer, click on the searchable address, it pops me directly over into my Bing map, and I can do my turn-by-turn instructions all the way from Seattle, Washington to Amsterdam. I probably would run out of memory on my phone. Okay. So that's no-code solutions that are lit up, Word, Excel Web Access, Web Parts in this case, and my Windows Phone. Okay, so let me come back, go to the slides here, see where we are on all this. So how does it work? Okay, let's go back to the demo. Come on, machine. There we go. All right. Back to the demo. So what we had is, let's go into, let's build out really quick. I have 19 minutes here. So let's go to view all site content. And let's build out that Word document. Let's see how to build out the Word document that has access back into BCS. So in this, we'll go ahead and create. And we'll just create a library. So we'll go to a document library here. And we'll go, I'm naming everything, TechEd DocLib. Okay, so I have a TechEd doc library. We'll just go ahead and create. Now, the first thing we're going to do once we create the doc library is, this is just any typical document library. But what we want to do is we want to be able to use the BCS external list to create some external columns on this document library. So how do we do that? We go into library settings. And the first thing we need to do is, okay, I'll come back to that. Second thing we need to do. So we're going to add some columns. So we're going to create a column here. And we'll call this column customer name. But the key is that we want to drive external data into our list. So once we click external data, then it refreshes our page, and now we have this external content type available to us. So we'll go ahead and take a look at all of our external content types. We'll grab customer because that's important to us, and we'll click OK. Once we have customer loaded up, then because, of course, it looks into the external content type, and it knows all of the data that can be passed back from that method. We have all the data here. Now, what's important to us is company name. So that's the selection field. When we want BCS in Word to do a lookup, what do we want to show in the pop-up? We want to show the company names. But there's also all this other data that we can bring back. So we'll bring back city, country, customer ID, blah, blah, blah. We'll just click all of these because we want all the data as well, because we want to be able to fill out our Word document with that information. So we'll click all of that. We'll click OK. Now, what that does then is it adds customer name here, and it knows that it is an external data type. Okay, so that's all goodness. We have those external columns. If we actually go out and look at this, go into the view, you can see that all of those fields now, when this list renders, all of those fields show up. This is where, again, as the administrator, you can come in and not have all of those show up on the main view of this page. You can set the view to be whatever you want. We'll go ahead and cancel out of this. And this is the goodness now. Now what we want to do is build that Word document that can pull in the data. So how do we do that? We go into advanced, we go into advanced settings. This is the first thing we have to do. Let me go back and show you why we have to do that. Notice that I don't have a content type showing right here. Okay, it's missing so you can't see it. All right. We want to make it show there. So we have to go into advanced settings, and it's this setting right here, allow management of content types, that you have to click to yes. When you click yes on that and okay, given that you have permissions to click yes, now what we have is the goodness here of the content type. This is the default content type. It's just a, you know, it's just a document one, okay? Just going to create a Word doc. We want to replace this with some goodness. So we'll go into, we'll click on that. And what first thing we're going to do is go into name and description, and we're going to call it proposal. Because that's when we drop down, create a new document, we want it to say proposal and not just document. We can do some goodness with the description if we want to. We'll click OK. So that was not a big deal, but we do want to change the name. Secondly, we click into advanced settings. Now, this is where we go when we want to... what happened there? Wow. Let's... somebody messing with my endpoint. Let's just see if we can come back and start that over again. Oh my gosh. It's like it's not downloading my CSS right. How did we do that? Yeah, clear cache, that's good. Let's just come back here real quick. That was interesting. Never had that happen before. And I was just cranking. We'll see what happens here. Oh, wow. Oh, well, that makes sense. One more try here. If the site doesn't clean up, okay, yay! Okay, that's goodness. Let's go back to finance. And where was I? TechEdDocLib. Let's go into library, library settings, advanced settings. Nope, I didn't want that. Come down here, proposal. And this is where I want advanced settings. All right, there we go. Okay, so here's where we come in. We'll simply browse to a document on my desktop here, and I'll pick it up. And this document has no specialness to it, but what I'm essentially going to do is replace the original document that was there. So now I'll come back into advanced, and I will edit that document. Okay, so we'll enable editing. All right. So now what's really, really simple to do, you can just come down anywhere on the document here. So let me just go. I can come anywhere on the document, and I can go Insert, Quick Parts, Document Property, and look at that. Here's all the goodness. Here's customer name city. Okay, so that's my external list now, my external columns now being made available inside my document. So if I put customer name right here, and just to make this quick, if I click on this, I can now open up. So you have that ability. It's just that easy to be able to integrate external columns into a document library and build templates off of it. Okay, so that's all goodness. That's all no code. All right. So the only last thing I want to do is show you, let's go into the customers external list here. We'll go list. And, you know, I'm going through a lot of this fast, but really I want to document this so you can go back to the video and follow it, okay? So here's my list settings. If I want to deal with my my mobile view, this is where I set my mobile view, okay? Customer read list. So on my mobile view, essentially what I get to pick is which element or which data element I want to have show up on my mobile view that's going to be the most important for the people that have to click on something. So again, here I just have company name. So that's what you saw on the phone for the main selection. But you could use any of the fields in the external list that makes sense. It'll generally pick a default one, and it's usually not what you want. It's like usually some yes-no field, you know, which doesn't help the end user very well. All right, so with that, let's come back to the slides. Okay, so we have SharePoint Online. We added a BCS-enabled external columns. We saw that. We went into the Word document. We built out with quick parts the external columns that we wanted to have show up in the document, stepped through that. The Excel Web Access web parts, they are just wired up and point to the different name charts, and you can build out nice spreadsheets on that. And then with Windows Phone. Okay, so for code-based solutions, now we get to this part of it. So for our code-based solution, what we want to do is we want our Excel person, our accountant person, to be able to do real-time grabs against the data, the BCS, WCF service, do real-time grabs against that for any data that's coming in from our mobile delivery persons, okay? So we could watch trends then, we could see what's being rejected, you know, things like that. So we want this person in the back office to be able to have that real-time grab of data, and they're going to do that by hitting BCS and SharePoint Online. I'll show you that. Then we also are going to light up a way to get the blob image for a particular order if the order was rejected. And then lastly, we have our Windows Phone app, and so this is a special design Windows Phone app for our delivery people. They authenticate, and then they deliver their item. And if the item is rejected, they take a picture of it, and that goes into the database. Goes into blob storage, as well as the delivery item goes into the database. Okay, now, there's only one thing that we need to think about here, and there was a whole session on this morning, so that's not what I'm about here, is to talk about this, other than the fact that when you do an add-in, okay, you build a custom add-in, and you want to access BCS or hit the external list in SharePoint Online, you have to authenticate to BCS, okay? You have to authenticate to Office 365, because it's on that authentication that's going to either be your yes or no to even be able to see that external list, okay? Because there's permissions on external lists. But Microsoft, the Office 365 identity environment, you can either have all identities in Microsoft Online. That's just, you know, out of the box, everybody gets an identity in Office 365 for your organization. You can also have a second level, which is, yes, you have the Microsoft Online ID, but you also have Active Directory on premises, and so you use DirSync technology. Again, visit the demo that was done this morning, the session on Active Directory in Office 365. You can use directory sync mechanism, and all of this is documented, to be able to push identities from your AD up into Office 365 with DirSync, and you can populate some attributes up there. So, and that way you can have an individual would have a Microsoft Online ID as well as an Active Directory ID. Both of those would be for a user. What we do not sync in that is we do not sync passwords. So an individual can either log in with their Active Directory username principle, DonovanF@Microsoft.com, and the password for Office 365. It's not their on-prem password in number two. Number three is a federated relationship. So Active Directory Federation Services is put in your on-prem. You also have directory sync. We don't sync passwords up to Office 365, but when your user, DonovanF@Microsoft.com, accesses Office 365, enters that as their username, then it recognizes that, oh, no, Microsoft, no, I have a federated relationship with them. It bounces that individual back to the on-prem Active Directory Federation Services server, authenticates against Active Directory, gets the right token, and passes that back into Office 365. So the authentication is done back on-prem. So in that case, you have a single sign-on. A user is using their on-prem password essentially to authenticate to Office 365. But that's the third option. Okay? Now, why I said that is that when you use this mechanism in the add-in, any add-in you build or smart client you build, when you use this mechanism, it doesn't matter which one of the three you're using, because it works in all of them. It does exactly the same thing. Okay? So, with that, next step is code-based productivity. All right. So the last thing here, let's come over to my demo. Last thing I want to show you here is just Visual Studio. Click this out. So in Visual Studio, we have a workbook. This is a custom add-in to Office, a doc-level add-in. Right here, we're simply doing a authentication to Office 365, but there's a special authentication that you're going to use, and it's called Get Authenticated Context. And that does a lot of magic under the covers. We provide that for you, and there's documentation around this, in this Claims Auth project. So if you take this Claims Auth project and you put it into your add-in, then it will work this for you. And this is the pattern that is established. So it does a Get Authenticated Context. It pops down into the Get Authenticated Context. And essentially what happens is it's going to pop the browser window, let the user authenticate to Office 365. The browser window goes away. It scrapes the cookies. They're opaque, but it scrapes the cookies off of that browser, and it pushes them into the client-side object model call back to Office 365. Okay? Now, there's a whole document around that, and I can certainly talk you through it and make sure that you understand it if you want to. You can see me at the booth afterwards. So let's go ahead and just finish out this demo here. The last thing we want to do, let's just go ahead and debug, start the new instance here. We'll start Excel. But first of all, I'm just going to be an employee out in the field. So first of all, I'm going to just be, after I authenticate here, so I'm authenticating to Office 365. So that's my add-in authenticating. But let's come out here and be out in the field now. So here's my Windows Phone application. I'm going to use my Fabricam app. It loads up. First thing it does is it has me authenticate to Windows Live ID in this case. I authenticate to Windows Live. This is using Azure Access Control Services for authentication. And here now it's hit my web service, and it's bringing back all that I've delivered or that are undelivered, as well as those I've delivered. If I look at Southridge Video here, I can see that I had one that I had had a rejection on. If I click on that, it'll download the picture out of Blob Storage. So that's the picture that was rejected. Okay, so I'll come back here. Let's go ahead and come back and let's deliver an item. Let's go to Northwind Traders here. And here's my dining table. My dining table had a bit of a problem. Sorry, I'm not rejecting you. Okay, but just to let you see here. Okay, so I'll go ahead and accept that picture. It's blurry. There's nobody identifiable. So it's uploading the picture right now. So the picture has been uploaded. So I'll go ahead and tap the screen and choose. Let's see, wrong item. So it puts the wrong item on there, and I'll go ahead and save that. I'll choose mark order as delivered. Okay. So the order has now been delivered, Northwind Traders. It is no longer in my delivered list. That's goodness. So now let's come over to my back-end web app. Or my, I should say my Excel document here. And now I'm going to just simply update the data because I want to do a real-time grab of the data. And you'll see these numbers change here because now it's going out, hitting my BCS service and coming back, changing the data. And let's just make this real quick. Let's go to the sixth month of 2012, Northwind Traders right there. If I do a view on that, I should see you guys all sitting out in my Blob Storage picture. Yep, there you are. So that's coming in. That looks real good. So let me just go ahead and shoot this up to save as. Let's just save this up to my site. I hate typing all this in. So there we go. Save this up to my SharePoint online site as it saves it. Saving it. Oh, great. Okay. Saving it. That's all goodness. Let's come back to my site. Come back to finances. Yep, I know I'm done. Okay, so we have our order here. We can see that we've saved our documents up here. Let's just go ahead and click into view orders. And now available to all the people who don't have Excel on the desktop, we can come in Northwind Traders. Here we can go ahead and click view. And here you are in SharePoint Online as well. So that's a round-trip, full end-to-end solution. Let me wind out my slides, and we are home. Okay, so there's a lot of things. There's a lot of things that I already showed you how we can do that, make REST calls. We went through this, and there's our end-to-end solution, lighting up three no-code and three code-based solutions. Just because we have BCS online, we can hit any type of WCF REST endpoint that's behind a WCF service, and even an on-premises service. If you have your architecture right, you might need to use the Azure Service Bus to be able to get behind your firewall. But your WCF service could be behind your firewall and just have a proxy out in Windows Azure. That's a great pattern, and it works well. Okay, so my objectives were to hopefully let you propose to you that there's a lot that you can do with business connectivity services now that you have it in SharePoint line, online. And if you agree with me, go make something happen because there's some really cool stuff that you can do. There's some great resources I just put out on my blog just this week while I was here. I just put out on my blog right here, just put out a hands-on lab that steps through how to do everything except the phone app. So you can build your WCF service, push it out to Azure, build your SQL. I don't use a SQL database even. That's there for you as a resource. There's other good resources. other sessions. And TechNet, TechEd, hey, thank you. Please fill out your evals. Appreciate it. I will be down in the booth and we'll take as many questions, and I will stay as late as you want. Okay? Thank you all.